Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my husband, David Garcia.
What's up?
We are on season two, episode
27.
It's 27.
I knew you didn't know.
I knew you've got my back.
Yes, sir.
So, what's new with you?
What is new with me? Not much.
What do you mean, not much?
Kind of the same old. Started swimming. We've already talked about that.
Did you talk about physical therapy already?
I believe so. Yeah. yeah, I keep forgetting to like update. I keep like telling myself that I'm going to update like my running social media.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't done it. But this past week, my PT finally was like, hey, you could start jogging for like a half a mile or a mile and see how you feel.
That's awesome.
And he had me jog inside the little gym, and I felt a little pain. And he's like, I'm okay with that. You can feel pain. He's like, just as long as it's not getting worse, you'll be fine. Which is, makes me happy, but also, like, I wasn't expecting to be back so soon. And so, like, right now I'm in, like, the limbo of, like, swimming. And so I think I'll take it easy on the running, even if I could... If I can run, I'll take it easy on the running and I'll focus more on the swimming. And I'm about to sign up for my first swimming classes because actually today I went swimming and it was a little frustrating. So I'm like, okay, I need to get swimming. And I actually invited a couple of guys and a couple of the guys seem like they're down for the swimming classes as well. So we're going to be doing it together.
Little classmates.
Yeah, with a bunch of 13-year-old kids.
Cute.
Yeah.
But... When you mean like take it easy on the running, is that like you're not going to run at all? Or are you going to run like 3 miles a week?
Like I might run like maybe once, maybe twice a week.
Okay.
And especially to start. So my first run, I'm planning to wait until Saturday with the running group. I'll probably run like half a mile, probably walk a little bit, run half a mile, walk a little bit and see how I feel. Because I definitely don't want to aggravate it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if the PT is saying that I could run and it's okay to feel pain...
Trust the process.
Yeah, I got to trust the process.
Beauty's pain.
But yeah, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be running again. And honestly, the other reason why I'm not so like rushed to run is because lately in California, it has been hot.
That makes you a better runner.
Yeah, but it's definitely not pleasurable to run in that heat. So.
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten used to it. Like I'm just like, okay, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But... Tomorrow will be the real test because I'm going to see if I can run. I have back to school night and I have like maybe a small gap. And I'm like, if I don't run or work out tomorrow, like I can't fit it in at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do like a night run.
Yeah.
And so we have an activity room that no one's using. I don't know if I said this last week, but the principal's like, it's open to the staff. And so... Me and a few of my girlfriend's coworkers were like, let's just work out in it.
Mm-hmm.
It has no AC, no fans, nothing. It's like a sauna in there. And so I'm like, oh, if I run tomorrow, it's going to be like gross. Like I have to have like dry shampoo to see the parents. Like for sure.
Just make sure you have deodorant. I think that's all that really matters.
But my hair, you don't have like long
hair.
It's
going to dry out.
I guess. But I keep telling myself, like, if I can run in the heat when it's disgusting out, when there's a heat wave here in California, in Southern California, then I can run in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't wait to see, like, my fall growth or winter growth just to see.
It's going to be so nice to run in cool weather.
I can't wait. But, yeah, I don't think I have many updates. I've just been doing my routine as usual. Exciting things pending. But yeah, I think getting back into the routine of things. Getting stronger. Every time I see a little baby muscle, I'm like, David, do you see this? Do you see this? I didn't have this. You see that? Especially like quads. I've never worked out a quad or knew like what the heck working out a quad looked like.
Yeah.
My calves. I'm like, David, you see this? You see this? My abs constantly asking me if they look better. My little baby biceps. So... I'm excited to see like what next summer, what a whole year and some change will look like.
Mm.
Better every day.
Yep.
And one of the topics I wanted to talk about is how we're better together or stronger together.
Okay.
And so about marriage support or marital support.
Okay, that's a good topic. Yeah, yeah. I've had a couple of thoughts on that. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to, like, for us to share stories of maybe where you felt you supported me or you felt support from me, either or. Then I can talk about where I felt, how I felt supported by you or how I feel like I've shown support. And so talk about some real life, maybe examples.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about, like, the importance of it, maybe the dangers of not feeling support. Because the reason I'm bringing this topic up is mm-hmm. in a marriage, yes, it's, you have to be selfless and it's about compromise and you can't get everything that you want because that's not a marriage. Like, be single if you want to live that life.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to achieve, like, your goals, like, I don't think you should die to yourself and to the calling God has for you and, like, you being better. But you, it is so much easier to do that with marriage support.
Mm.
And it'll be so dreadful
mm.
to do that alone or yeah. against the current.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah.
It's going to be a good topic.
I know, I pick the good topics.
Yeah, you do.
Any topics you guys like? I'm bringing them up. But please let us know, you guys. I don't know if you don't listen to the end, but when we ask, like, to comment, like, let us know.
Tell them to comment now.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Let us know right now. Hit pause or while I'm talking. Because
No, as the streamers do. Put a one in the comments if you're tuning in.
Because sometimes we're like, oh, what should we talk about? What should we talk about? We feel like we're kind of talked about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we would love to, like, talk about what you guys want to hear, like, what you feel like you're going through, because I'm pretty sure we're going through the same thing or we've gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so please let us know. But anyways, continue.
I wasn't saying anything.
I'm waiting for you to say, like, oh, yeah, that's a good topic. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I'm just saying.
You have so much to say, so much that wants to spill out.
Yeah, I guess it's a really good topic. I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it more, obviously, on the stance of being a man, uh-huh. and especially with the social climate that we've been in. It's kind of hard to be a man and to want to do certain things when your significant other or your wife doesn't support you.
Okay.
So we're talking about, it could be good things. It could be, hey, I'm going to hang out with these certain guys because they're financially savvy, or I'm going to hang out with these guys because they're health savvy. I'm going to hang out with these guys because whatever, they're going to make me better. They're spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to just go run, and I'm going to go run in the morning, or I'm going to go run after work. And it's hard to be that man when the wife is dictating the whole schedule. And really, the man is adhering to that schedule completely. So, in other words, he is completely submitting to the woman's schedule rather than it being a conversation. And I tell the guys that I usually hang out with, I am not a subscriber to Happy Wife, Happy Life. I am a subscriber to Happy Spouse, Happy House. Because happy spouse means we're both taken into consideration. We're both talking about this. We're both figuring this out. And all in all, a man wants to be respected, mm. appreciated, and supported. If I could name three pillars that a man wants, it's those three things. If you can fill those three things, a man is happy. And I feel like when a man doesn't feel those things, you end up getting a man that you weren't excited about. And this is where you enter a sort of toxic cycle where the woman's like, I need you to do this and I need you to be more like that. I'm going to need this and need that. And little does the woman know that if he were to feel these three things and feel supported in trying to go after the things that he likes to do, whether that's health, and we're talking from a point of like things that benefit him. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not just talking about, hey, I want to go out drinking or whatever, and you don't support me drinking or whatever. No, we're talking about things that benefit you. When they don't feel supported, I mean, there's a book called Wild at Heart, and it basically says, like, sometimes significant others or society or churches try to put men in a cage, and it's like putting a lion in a cage. Not much of a lion if you're in a cage. A lion needs to be out there, roaming, roaring, attacking, hunting, so on and so forth. But you won't have a lion of a man if you don't allow him to be a lion of a man.
And I think women like, obviously, the idea of a lion, like having a lion, mm-hmm. like a protector, someone who's fierce to go after what they want, a leader, right? They like the idea of that. But I think the lion, if I don't want to say properly trained, because you can't train a lion.
But that's crazy for you to
say. I know. I'm like realizing. But I guess if it's not a healthy lion, mm-hmm. we'll pick healthy. It can attack its own like cubs or jealousy. Have you seen where like a pride of a lion, like it'll start fighting its own like pride or whatever? And so I think there's a lion wields such great power and such great strength mm-hmm. that if not careful or not wise or not healthy, it can do a lot of damage, right? So it's like a double-edged sword. And so I think women, they are fearful of that and maybe...
Could you be more specific? Because that's very general. What would a woman be scared of a man, like, doing or becoming?
Okay, like, I'll talk about you because...
Okay. Go ahead. I don't know. Throw me under the bus.
No, but I'm saying you have, like, addictive tendencies. Uh-huh. And so, for example, like, supporting in your, like, poker thing, right? Like, I hope you feel supported by me where I'm like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. have your once a month poker stuff. But you're healthy. Like I've seen, I can not trust you with that, but like, I don't care, right? Like you do it. Mm-hmm. Versus if you're not healthy, like it becomes an addiction where you start going out and gambling. Mm-hmm. And so the woman starts off supportive. And then maybe the man not only is spending more time away from his family, but then is using the resources, right?
Okay.
Or it can be even health-wise. I've seen where women are like, yeah, go train. And they're gone. And they become addicted to training. Then, or it becomes so vain for them. We're just all about their looks.
What is an addiction to training though?
Like in the mornings they wake up, they go. In the evenings they're there. It's every day. It becomes more about like what they look. Like they become so consumed about what they look.
So then, okay. Because, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but.
No, you're fine.
The reason why I push back a little bit on this part is just because, is there a goal? Because, for example, I know that if one day I tell you, babe, I'm going to do an Ironman.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And this is what it's going to take. I'm going to have to run in the morning. I have to wake up at 4 a.m. and go run. Then I have to go to work, come back, and I'm going to have to probably bike for like a couple hours or whatever.
That's fine. Like, I know that when you get to that point, it's going to take a lot. Mm-hmm. But if there's, for example, I've heard of stories, I don't want to say names, but like I've heard of stories where they're constantly gone working out and there's like no physical change. And you're just like it becomes an addiction or worse. It's so vain. We're just about what they look like that. I've seen this in older couples too, where they start like posting pictures of themselves only. And then it slowly leads them to want affirmation from other people. And then they slowly start having eyes for others and affairs, things like that. Like I'm saying, like when a good thing could turn bad, like with anything. I feel like fitness is good until it becomes like your idol. Social is good until it becomes your idol. We can even talk about workaholic, right? Like you're saying, I want to get my family out of debt, but to the point where you don't know your family, you don't see them, you have no idea what they care about, what is going on in their life. You don't care to stay tuned.
But a lot of what you're saying sounds like it's based out of fear.
The men part or the women?
No, the part where you're saying like good things can turn bad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying a lion has a lot of power mm-hmm. and they're created to be powerful in certain situations.
Right.
And what I'm saying is I think a woman's where she wants to start caging him is where she's seeing those tendencies of the power being misused or misplaced. And so...
I don't think...
You don't think women have that fear?
The social climate right now, though. Like, I can understand that fear. Yes, of course. But not all men are addictive. And honestly, what I've seen... I will say this. I've told many people this. In a relationship, there's usually one dominant person. It's not always the male. Sometimes it's the female. And the dominant personality usually tends to dictate what happens around them for the sake of their own comfortability. So I'm saying, like, for example, I'll throw myself under the bus. At the beginning of our marriage, I was a very controlling person, and I was that dominant person manipulating or shaping my environment mm-hmm. so it best suited me. And you've called me out on that. So like it's a fact. But I can sit here and say, yes, that is what I was doing. It wasn't like people can mask it however they want. I was trying to make you better and I was trying to, no. Like I'm going to be honest. I was shaping my environment for my own comfortability. And I believe, again, with the social climate that we've been in, with this whole empowering of women and women take charge and you have power and you have authority and you have a voice, you have 100%. But in a marriage, there is a dynamic that must be followed. And I feel like women have basically become Eve. It's like, I'm going to notice you slip a second. Don't worry. I've been empowered. I got this. Don't worry. I'm going to control the schedule. I'm going to do this. And it's become somewhat toxic where, again, the woman usually control the schedule and they tell the man, like, you can or you can't. And to the point of, it's like, I don't really care what your goals are. The my comfortability, which is usually masked by the family, comes first. You come second.
I believe, because you brought up Eve. Mm-hmm. You brought up Eve.
Mm-hmm. I did.
That is when Adam should have been a lion and stepped 100%. In and been like, no, God did not say that.
We have talked about this before. Where Adam failed is he did not step up to be a leader.
For sure.
And so, where Eve failed said, oh, you're not going to do it? I'll take charge.
Exactly. And so I mean, this is kind of redundant in like what came first, the chicken or the egg? Mm-hmm. Because you say that, okay, there's naturally a dominant, more dominant person in the relationship.
Yes.
Whether that's the woman or a male. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the woman usually takes more dominance when they've seen patterns and they're like, he's not stepping up. And so I see it as like a hunt.
I agree.
The lion isn't going out to hunt, isn't being that. And so she's like, okay, you can't do it. Be in the cage and I'll feed you. Like you showed me that you can't do it for yourself.
Okay. I 100%.
And then the lion starts like, why am I in this cage? And then it's the woman's like, I gave you. And that's where the fear comes in. When she's seen patterns. And it's like, okay, you can, but there's that fear. So then they start like controlling. And some women, I don't think if you ask them, do not support his goals. They're going to say, no, I don't. They're going to say, yeah. They probably have like that leash of like how much, you know, like little, like, but it's from fear. It's because they've experienced it before. Something, there's hurt that has happened or resentment of some sort. It's not just, hey, we like kittens. Let's get the biggest one and put them in a cage. It's because there's something that took place that made them, they either walk themselves in that cage or they're like, come here, kitty, kitty, we're putting you in this cage.
And here's the thing, what I hear between the lines of what I've heard things be said, I support him. But he knows, and they usually tend to look at their husband, he knows that family comes first.
Yeah.
And in between the lines, it's like, yeah, sure. Let's just say that I support you, but you know that you have limited time. And going back to what you were saying before, we saw these tendencies and that's why like I started putting him in a cage, or he walked himself in the cage. Okay, cool, 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 cool. Is it a woman's job to put a man in a cage?
No.
Nope. Did she decide that is going to be my leader when she married him?
Yes.
Yep. What is a woman's role in that scenario? Oh my gosh, I've seen these cycles and I don't like them. Tendencies are one thing. What should you do is a whole other ball game.
I agree. But we can ask those set of questions to the man.
100%.
And say,
and that's why I said I fully agree. And I just had a conversation with somebody about this a couple of days ago. And I told this person, I'm like, your significant other is going to be at peace if she notices that you are going to take charge. If she notices that you have a plan. If she notices that you've already taken actions to go towards this plan that you have. Basically, she will be at peace and she will go with your flow and be okay with the decisions that you're making because they are important decisions. Mm. If she notices, oh, he's being the leader that I need him to be.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. And that's why I completely agree. Men out there need to do their job.
And women,
if you are not doing your job, that is when the women start twitching and they go, I need to take over. I need to take over. If I don't take over, nothing's going to happen. And if nothing's going to happen, I'm going to be miserable. And
for sure. Because I feel like just how you said, okay, is it the woman's role to put him in the cage? It's like, is it the man's role to stay in there? To say like they got married saying I'm the leader and then just be like whimpering with the tail behind their legs and will she put me in here? I'm waiting for her to let me out. Like, and it's like the elephant. Have you heard of that scenario where the elephant is roped up to something and he was trained from a small young age that he can't get away?
Mm-hmm.
And when he's big, it's like a rope to like a little nail or something. Not knowing that if he just...
Yeah. Conditioned. Yeah.
Conditioned. And mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, I think we can ask those same set of questions to the man. I that's why it says it's redundant. It's a chicken or the egg scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going back to like the topic, like why is it important that I think it's always the person who has the realization first, who is self-aware to be like, whether that's the woman and saying, wow, I put him in the cage, or whether the man comes to the realization first of, wow, I've been in the cage and I've just let myself for a long time, like this be the norm and I haven't spoken up or communicated or mm-hmm. whatever. Because I think it goes back to, we've talked about it in prior episodes, so we're not going to re-summarize it, but where it was that conversation, right, that our therapist told us of the guy, they're not communicating right, where it's like, whose responsibility is it, the guy to be, right? It's like, whose responsibility is it? It's like, whoever comes to that self-awareness first. For like, knowledge is power. And so if you had that thought, it's on your court. And you are now self-aware enough to say something. If you don't, then I feel like it's on your fault. It's your fault. Whether you started it or not, you not saying anything or moving forward,
mm-hmm.
it's your fault.
Again, just from a man's perspective, and we could talk about the women's perspective with you sharing a little bit, but with the man's perspective, it is so crucial for us to feel supported in what we want to do. And especially if we have good in our heart and a good vision and a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to as little as, like I said, health-wise. Hey, I'm going to go run. Like, from the moment that I said, I'm going to be healthy, I've noticed nothing but support from you. The only time that we've kind of clashed a little bit is right now that you were like, oh, I'm going to be healthy too. And, you know, now our schedules are clashing a little bit.
Yeah.
But like the moment that I decided, you've always just been like, yep, 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 yep. And it's not that like, I was talking to somebody else a couple of days ago and it's just like pride is running rampant nowadays, like rampant, rampant, where somebody might hear our conversation and they're like, oh, so Grace, you're just going to bend over backwards and just do whatever he wants and says. And, you know, like you got no say and you're just going to be home with the kids and you have to do this and you have to do that. And just like, they like completely twist it out and just like, that's the pride flaring up in them and be like, no, I can't live that life.
Yeah.
But all you are doing is supporting your husband in the good things that he wants to do. And you know that the reason why he wants to do them, A, is for himself, for his longevity, that we know that health like clears out stress. You know that I want to be a good role model to our kids. We see already the fruits that are happening with our kids. We see the fruits that are happening within yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I think that what you think is like, why wouldn't I support that? Like that, there's so many benefits and fruits that come from that. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like, and the thing is, every time that we talk about things like that, like there's a conversation that happens like, hey, this is what I'm looking like. Granted, sometimes I don't communicate it as best as I should because sometimes I'm just like, don't ruin my schedule. And you're like, don't worry, like we'll make it work, whatever. But like you have done nothing but support me and I would not be where I am today without all that support. And not only that, but like I made a video about this. I don't know how long ago, but I made a video. Just like how important is it to a man to know that his wife is behind him? Like that is, it's priceless for a man to know my wife has my back. My wife supports my goals. My wife supports my dreams. My wife is helping me become who God is calling me to become. Because again, whether it's in finances, spiritually, health, any sort of area that you're trying to be better in, it's uncovering the character that God has placed in you or the characteristics, the personality, the purpose that is within you.
Mm-hmm.
As you do these things, you notice, oh, I can do hard things. Oh, I am a champion. I am a hard worker. I am disciplined and so on and so forth. All these identities that are being uncovered. And that's when you're allowing your man to be a lion, like it feels so great. Like I mean, granted, you missed it, but when I ran last year in the half marathon and I crossed the finish line, like
I tried.
There's a feeling like no, that it's a feeling like no other.
Yeah.
Like for you to accomplish something that you like worked for, you dedicated time to, you dialed in your nutrition, like you dialed in your schedule, the organization. I had the support of my wife and my kids. It like the only cherry on top would have been like seeing you and the kids cheering me on, like yeah, like
open to Spartans and Hyroxes.
Yeah. And I mean, Elijah's like inspired by it. He wants to do Spartans all the time. And it's just it's priceless. It's really priceless for a man to feel that. And it's honestly, you are neutering a man when you don't support him. You're neutering him, and it's sad because that lion turns into a little pussycat. And he goes from being a lion that could rule a lion kingdom, we could say, to a caged animal that's just sad and depressed and doesn't know why. Like, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel stuck? What do I feel like? I can't move forward. Why do I feel like there's no success in my life? What is it? Like all these things? He got neutered. And, but like you, like we said, most of the time it's both parties' fault. The man for not doing what he was supposed to do, and the woman being like, all right, I'm going to take charge.
Mm. And I think it's so much easier. I think you put on your story or something, I think it was like an image with a caption of like, if you don't have purpose, you'll seek entertainment or something.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I do believe that's one of the ways that men can have vices where they think it's just not, it's not affecting the family, it's just affecting them. And whether they go to like drugs, alcohol, porn, like other women, whatever it is, because they can't do that in a healthy way, or they're, how you said, like depressed or lack purpose. And so they'll go do things where they think, quote unquote, it's not hurting anyone, but it's just hurting themselves and then their family.
Yeah.
But it's like they can't go with friends. They can't, like, if they're not, again, being purposeful, then they'll seek pleasure. I think women too, like, it's not just men.
Mm-hmm. And I guess to help out the marriages and the relationships that might be listening, what is, in a woman's perspective, the right balance? Because what if I said, I'm going to wake up at 4, I'm going to go run or whatever, I'm going to go straight to work, and then after work, I'm going to work out until like 9 p.m., and you'll have to put the kids to sleep, and I'll see you for like 30 minutes before I go to sleep, and that's every day. Like, what's the right balance? Or like, hey, I have these friends, they're really good influences, they're helping me with my Christian walk, they're really, we're doing a Bible study together. What's the right balance towards that of how many times can I meet with them? I really like meeting them. Like, if you have a really social husband, let's say, it's like, if it was up to me, like, I'd meet with them twice a week or whatever. Like, is that too much? Or the man wants to take financial classes or financial education or whatever, and that is twice a week. Like, what is the right balance, I guess, from a woman's perspective of like, hey, like, you're doing too much and you really are like letting the family slip now. Like, where is that line?
The line is, I don't want to define it so clearly because every marriage is different and every season is different.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's been seasons in my life where I'm super busy. Like, I was pregnant, working, going to school with a toddler. And that was the season where I needed a lot of support. And I think like your things kind of had to take like a wait, like a pause period.
Yeah.
But we knew, okay, this is a season. It had a like deadline per se. And so I think that's fine example of, like, for the Ironman. Like, I know when it's time to do the Ironman, it takes way more hours. It's going to take more dedication. Like, it's going to take sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
But that usually has, like, a deadline. Like, you're training for something. And so I do think that's important to communicate. Like, okay, how long is this season for?
Mm-hmm.
If there's no communication and it's just, like, indefinitely, that's going to burn out that person, but your family. Like, right. They can't sustain
right.
A lifestyle that's just go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I feel like is, I feel like that's what makes it easy for me. And I don't know if it's probably sounds selfish, but what makes it easy for me to support you is I think of like the golden rule that we're told when we're younger, like treat others the way you want to be treated. Like, I know if I want to go hang out with friends, like I would hate for you to be like making me feel guilty. You're going to go hang out with girlfriends and we're here alone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I would hate
yeah.
that. And so when you're like, oh, this guy wants to see me, like we're going to go grab coffee or I'm going to have my poker night, I'm like, go for it. Like, I love that for you because I know when I have my girls' events, like I get excited and I want support.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might seem selfish, like, oh, you're only doing it to get something in return. But I think that's a huge red flag if you're the only one being sacrificial like over and over again.
Mm.
And you're not seeing, that person is not filling your cup up.
Yes,
because I do think both men and women, like, we should outserve one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm saying you could do this, you could do this, you could do this, but you're just taking it and not like, that's not being a family man, not saying, okay, what can I do for my wife now? Like, I'm grateful, I'm appreciative. And so I truly have felt like every time, again, you do like your guy stuff, like if I say I want to do my girl stuff, you're like, go for it. Or you're running and now I'm running, you're like, go for it. And even when you, like, when you went to school for, you didn't like it, but when you went, I was like, no, go for it, right? Like, go to your classes, your online classes. Right now you want to take the swimming class. I'm like, go for it. Because I know I'm going to get that in return. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that's a huge red flag if the woman or the man, whoever, again, is the most dominant, if you start asking them and they, like, make you feel guilty about it or they start complaining. And it's just like, wait, like, that's not healthy. Like, you're not looking out for the family. You're looking out just for yourself.
Yeah, and this goes for both male and female. If you feel like you are being the one who's very sacrificial, as long as you are doing it genuinely, as long as you are not lording it over your significant other, those are seeds of love that you are planting.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I say, like, to have a support of your spouse is priceless is because, I mean, we've said it here, before we did couples therapy, like, couples therapy changed us because that's when I finally gained the perspective of, oh, Grace does love me and she has my back. She understands me, and we just have to be better at communicating and continually building this bridge and taking care of this bridge, this connection between me and her. And after therapy is when I really like notice, like, oh, look at all these seeds that Grace has planted, and she loves me. And there are things that you used to complain about me before of like, wow, you're not considerate. You're not thoughtful. You don't buy me anything spontaneously. Like, you don't do things just out of the spur of the moment. And lately, or the last little bit, like, I've noticed, like, there's something inside me where I'm a person that is a good amount of times managed by feelings, right? And something that I wish I was less of, so I could be more objective rather than subjective. But where something I didn't feel before, now I just like randomly like, oh, like, this is my wife. And she's doing great things and she's working so hard. And I need to show her like tokens of appreciation. Like, and now things that you used to complain about, you're getting now. And it's because you planted all those, I guess you could call them sacrificial love seeds. And that, the second part would have not happened if I never felt like you love me and you have my back. And that's another reason why it's so important for a man to feel respected, appreciated, and supported. Because you want that man, this is now speaking to the women, you want that man in your life that loves you the way that you've been begging him to love you, respect him, appreciate him, and support him, and watch over time. And that's the thing that we've talked about many times here as well. A lot of times we start off and we need to practice patience because what we want to see doesn't happen from one day to another.
Yeah.
And it's a Christian principle. Things don't happen in a snap of a finger. There are some miracles and stuff that have happened, but we're talking about like the purposeful, meaningful, long-term stuff. Like, that mess takes time. So just because, oh my gosh, like I tried it for 1 week and I saw no results. Oh, honey boo-boo, try it for longer. Like, try it for 6 months. Try it for 12 months. Like, yeah. Time and time again, you see all these stories in the Bible. How many years did it take for them to see what God told them they were going to see? Many, 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 many years. And you're over here complaining about weeks. Like, no, put in the time. And I would like to think that you kind of like thinking about this now, just like, oh yeah, like it took years. But we're starting to see, like, I'm hoping that you're starting to see, yeah, like, the things that you've been praying for and wanted, and you used to nag me, and you used to just, like, I feel like when women are frustrated, like, they go to, like, this, like, toxic toolbox and just, like, I'm going to nag him, I'm going to bug him, I'm going to guilt him, I'm going to, like, just use his kids against him, I'm going to try everything possible to get this man to do what I would need him to do. And he might do it for, like, a week or so, but because it's not really rooted in love, it doesn't last very long. But when you actually plant those sacrificial seeds of love, over time, that mess flourishes. If you take care of it, that mess flourishes. And I feel like that's what season that we're in right now. We're like, yeah, like I feel protective over you. I feel like I need to support you. That like, I mean, granted, like, again, I'll throw myself under the bus. I'm still working on the whole words of affirmation. And, you know, I've heard you say, like, hey, you still need to work on that. But, like, I do have this feeling, like, of intense love over you, where it's just like, yeah, when I have an opportunity, when my light bulb finally turns on, like, hey, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And yeah, there's been times, like, I'm going to tell the story.
What story?
A couple of weeks ago, we went to Del Amo Mall.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
And we walk into Lululemon, and you kind of like hinting, like, well, you had been hinting for a couple of days or something like that, like, oh, Lululemon, like, I need a running bra because I don't really have one and I need one, and for the half marathon, and I'm taking this so seriously, and da 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 da. And I had it in my back of my mind, like, a loving husband will hear something like that and they'll keep it in the chamber, you know, like, they'll find the opportunity, like, sometimes, let's say we can't afford it or whatever, but like, they have it in mind. A man will have it in mind, like, and maybe that's like a way that a man might drop the ball of, like, he doesn't communicate that part of, like, I wish I could get that for you right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wish, because that means a lot to women, and like, it's hard for us men to think that way, because if somebody told us the same thing, we'd be like, all right, cool, like, you can't get it, like, why'd you even say that? Yeah. But for women, like, you guys eat it up. So yeah, so if we can't afford it, like, it's good just to do that first step of, like, I really wish I could get this for you right now, I want to support you, I want to do this, like. But anyways, we hear something like that, we keep it. So we went to Del Amo Mall, and I think you really briefly were like, oh, Lululemon's here, whatever. And I think we kept walking, and all of a sudden, I was just like, oh, let's go there. And you're like, why? And yeah, you just like started like, why? And you could tell that you didn't want to get your hopes up. Like, but what'd you end up getting? Like shorts and a bra?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, but you went in for a bra.
You told me, I'll get you your bra.
Yeah, I'll get you your bra. And you were like, already shocked and like, are you sure? It's really expensive, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, go get it.
That was, mind you, my first time stepping into a Lululemon store.
Yes. She tries on this thing, and I'm sitting there with my son, and I told my son, I looked at him, I'm like, pay attention to mommy's face. He's like, what? And I'm like, I'm going to say something to her. Just pay attention to her face. And you come out, and I think I told you something like, oh, like, get like some shorts too. And you're like, your face was just like, what? I'm like, yeah, get some shorts so you can like have like a full Lululemon outfit, whatever. And you started crying in front of like the people that were there, and crying.
Yeah, I felt a little bit ridiculous.
And I honestly, like, okay, like at first I was like, oh my gosh. And I looked at Elijah, and Elijah was like, and yeah. It was like a really nice moment. But then I was also thinking, like, are people thinking that this man is like oppressing this woman so much that to the point that when he gets her like a Lululemon, she's like, all this for umtutu? Like, but the point that I'm trying to get at is like, that has naturally so easily come out of my heart, where it's just like, or as before, I mean, you remember, I'm like, no, it's all about the money and the goals, the money's and the goals, the money's and the goals. Like, we got to keep going and move forward and be strict and disciplined and forget about what you want or what you need or what you think you want or like your desires. Like, forget about it. We got to like buckle down and blah, 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 blah. And now I think that's why maybe one of the reasons that you cried, where you're like, this man went from like being that military, just like money, 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 goals, 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 to now he's just like, oh, it's just money. Like, I'd rather like make you happy than care about like the financial goals or whatever, that much. We still care about it. We still care about it, and we're still doing our plans and stuff. But like, for that to happen, and that all came from those sacrificial planted seeds.
And just to, I guess, even shout him out even more, because that was like a self shout. I just didn't count if it's a self shout out. But when today, that happened today, was he asked me what's like September's miscellaneous. And then I was just throwing it in there to like, not really hopeful. And
you got to put more context to it too, though.
Okay. Hold on. So usually every month he'll ask me what's the miscellaneous, because again, we like to budget, and every dollar has a name. Mm-hmm. And so he'll be like, what's September miscellaneous? And I'm like, I know we're going to go apple picking, so we're going to obviously spend food there and grab a little bit of like souvenirs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so I told him, okay, this, and I'm thinking of like, are there any birthdays from our family or friends? That's usually what I'll tell him. Like, okay, it's a birthday coming up. We're going to have to spend here, right? Like, we're just trying to plan for the month. And so he asked me what's September miscellaneous. And so I said apple picking, and I couldn't think of anything else. And I was just trying to shoot my shot, like knowing like this probably is not going to happen. But I'm like, let me just slide it in there. You never know. I felt curious. And I said fall decor, right? I'm like, I'm going to get decorations for the house for fall time, which if you guys know my husband, he does not care about decorations.
I don't.
We did live like what looks like in a dungeon. And
for many years.
He could be like mixed matched, used like just grabbed from the street, which we did that, like grabbed from the street, stained things. And he'll be like, oh, this is cool. Like we have a living room. And it's like, no, we don't. This is horrible. But he just said like, that's not priority for him. And so we have a beautiful living room, but to add like decor, he's just like, for what? For fall season? Like, it's not even like Christmas, you might understand, but fall? Like what?
In a tiny bit more context, it's been like the last 3 years. They're like fall decor, or like Christmas decor, or I want to decorate for like summer, and like for every single freaking season, you want to decorate something.
I never wanted to decorate, but now I feel like when you have a beautiful home, you get excited, like to change out the pillows, to add these new frames. Like now I have like beautiful shelves where I can put the decor. Like you get more excited as a woman. Because before, if you're living in a dungeon, I could not make that. Like there's people who can make that look beautiful. I couldn't. So I was like hopeless. But now I get excited. And I think that also has helped me enjoy every season. I feel like I was dreading and just looking forward to summer, and pausing and being like, it's fall. Let me enjoy and romanticize fall, mm-hmm. be in the present. Like that has helped my mental sanity, like going through it. So I also decorate my classroom and like tell the kids, like just looking forward to it, just being grateful. And so I just threw in fall decor, which I've never done before. I think all the fall decor we got last year, which I only started last year decorating for the fall.
And it's always a battle. Yeah, Every time you bring it up, I'm like, I roll my eyes and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Yeah. Like, we don't need this. I feel like that's money going down the drain. It could go to like the savings or whatever.
Yeah.
And last year was a battle, but I think I gave in.
Oh, I thought I bought that stuff.
I don't remember.
Oh, we have to look. But I thought I bought it and I was asking for more and you were like, no, like I can do like Christmas.
It's because you were loaded last year, I think.
Yeah, I was loaded. This time I'm...
But yeah, so I'm just like, no, like this is... It's for me, it's a waste of money. But one thing that I did learn, and that was thanks to another couple... And their last name is the Garcias, Maria and Sam.
We love you guys.
My surrender to like the home stuff happened with a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And they made me like understand all Grace wants to do is make your home a home. And it's not for her sake, but it's for the sake of her family. And it is for your own mental sake.
Yeah.
Because you did tell me, like, I want to come home and see my beautiful living room and see the shelves and just, it makes you be at peace, I guess, right? And so this living room that we have right now was a pretty big investment, and it wouldn't have happened without that conversation. And so that's why I've been, again, learning how to surrender that more. We're just like, it's just money. She wants to do it. She wants to decorate the house. She wants to make our house a house. She wants to give our kids memories. I know that she has in her mind, like, I want my kids to grow up and be like, my mom used to always put like the pumpkins for October.
And they notice.
Yeah. And they do notice. And the thing I think maybe why you were nervous is like, last year I bought a bunch of stuff and like, you probably kind of already thought like, he's going to be like, you bought it last year. Like, why, yeah. Why do you need more stuff? I mean, it fit in the budget. And that's why I was just like, all right, yeah. Here's the budget for it.
Said yes. Like, he didn't hesitate. Like, at least, yeah, or give me pushback. Like, he just said yes. And I was like, I was shocked. But I think it comes to show, like, it's when we talk about support, it's not just support of health, which matters and stuff like that. But it's like your dreams, maybe like your childish dreams, like, you know, like healing the inner child. Like, mm-hmm. It's just support in making you happy, whether you don't understand, whether it's not important for you, but you know, this makes my spouse happy.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to support them.
Yeah.
That changes like a huge aspect of their mood, of their,
yeah,
of the culture, of the health, of like the love. I feel it, you didn't have to do it. And I was like, wow, like I was shocked. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It shows growth. Cause it was not even a conversation. It was just like, okay, we'll put this much for the fall decor. And I was like, wow. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. But I guess we can talk a little bit more about like the woman's perspective on support. But one thing I still want to hit the nail with a hammer, which is women, if you support your man and those goals that he has, you gotta kill your pride. Some of you need to kill your pride, and some of you need to be able to have those conversations and be able to organize the schedule or whatever it has to be, whether it's organizing the finances, the schedule, whatever. But if you support your man and he truly feels that you have his back, watch how that man changes.
Mm.
Especially if you've been complaining about him, watch how that man changes.
Yeah.
Like, especially, I think my generation, for sure, like a lot of us grew up feeling like nobody has our back.
Mm.
And even in marriage, like we get flashbacks of like, oh, this is just another person that doesn't have my back. And it hurts. But you're like, you're married and, you know, you obviously love her. And it's just like, it's not the ideal situation, but you kind of put up with it. But to really change that man's story and being like, I know one person for sure has my back, will always have my back, will support me, will push me forward, will encourage me, will help me believe when I don't even believe in myself. Like, to have, for a man to have that security, a man changes for the better.
Mm.
I just want to put it out there.
But yeah, I agree. And I think we've been, again, living that out and seeing like the fruit of that. And mm-hmm. So testament that, yes, that is true. I agree. But from the woman's perspective, and it's already like almost an hour, so I'm not going to take too long. It's a good conversation. I feel like we can keep going. But I do think what helped me reframe my mind, because it, for sure, how I said earlier, it could be a lot of fear. Like, well, if I sacrificed, how long is it? It's my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
If I sacrifice, will it be in vain? Will he just continue maybe to up it up a notch and like not see me and to kind of like
take me for advantage. Granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take me for granted, take advantage. But you have to ask yourself, and I'm hoping when you married them, like that's why you married them, but you have to ask yourself, does this person have good intentions? Like, does this person love me? Because
mm-hmm.
if you can answer yes, then it's like keep planting those sacrificial seeds
mm-hmm.
because you know he has good intentions. He's just had a bad, maybe upbringing, maybe bad habits, maybe wasn't taught, whatever it is. Like, that can be learned. And so keep planting those sacrificial seeds. I feel like if you feel like your husband has bad intentions and doesn't love you, like that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Like that can go kind of like borderline like abuse. And so I'm talking up to the woman where you're like, no, my husband has good intentions and he loves me. You have to surrender it. Like you, it's easier said than done 100%. But the more you hold on and the more you try to get control, the more you will not like who you're making him become. And we've talked about that, of putting him in the cage and being like, well, my husband now is afraid to speak his mind, or my husband is afraid to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And because you've complained and you've nagged and you've beaten him over and over, like the same word, thinking and like, all right, I'm going to beat him again, saying, not like physically, but beating him again, saying like, oh, you're good for nothing. You don't help me. You don't see me. You don't love me. Thinking that's going to make him get up.
And I wanted to ask, how much does fear play a role in a woman? I don't know if you've ever felt like that. But if you haven't, then like try to place yourself in those shoes of a woman goes that, no, like they can't go out and do this or do that, or they can't go out. I have three kids here. Like, who's going to help me with the kids? How much does that play a role? Or how much like, no, like the pride of like, no, he already went out. Like you're basically being a mom. No, you already went out once this week. You don't need to go out again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then feeling like they're getting taken advantage of, like, cause I feel like sometimes it may be true, but I do feel like there are times where that is a lie. And that's when pride is coming in. The enemy's trying to come in and being like, I don't want you to feel comfortable with letting this man do what he wants to do. I want you to clip his wings. So then he feels like less of a man. And then you have to nag him, and then you won't like who he is. And you also won't like who you are, because you feel yourself like being negative, and you know you're nagging him, and you know you're guilting him, and you know you're doing all these things that you probably shouldn't be doing. But fear has such a hold on you. Like, how much does fear play a part in that?
I feel like you can answer better than I can, because you've never given me that fear of, oh, is he going to cheat on me if... you're going to take advantage. Like, I've never felt that way. But I feel like you felt that in our marriage, where you're like, where are you going? You're being so suspicious.
Yeah. My thing, I guess you could call it abandonment issue, but like, I feel like I've never been abandoned, but like,
no, but even cause there was infidelity in, not in our marriage, but right before. You would like, I think, rethink it or bring it up or whatever in the beginning, it was toxic.
Yeah. So there's that factor. There's also like the factor, like, you know, nobody really has my back. Nobody really likes me.
Yeah.
And so like, I guess my trigger points were like, oh, she's going out again. She doesn't want to spend any time with me. She doesn't like me.
Because I think that's a woman's insecurity too,
mm-hmm.
where they feel like the men, I've always seen where the woman kind of gets jealous of like the homeboys. And it's like, I'm not a homeboy. Like he doesn't see me as a friend. Like we don't have fun together.
Yeah.
And so feeling like they're being replaced and a lot of women, like we lose ourselves when we become mothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge shift. I feel like the man has the... easiness, I don't know how to say, like the fortunate enough where their life kind of stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
They just get a kid in the mix. But from regards to work, like they could do the exact same thing. And then a woman, like we not only like physically went through so much change, but then mentally we take on this like burden of another being and we lose ourselves in motherhood. Like it completely transforms us. Where we lose ourselves. And so I think a lot of insecurity comes that like now I'm just like someone's mom. Like you lose your fun self. They say, they call it not getting our pink back. Like when we feel like.
You have a name for everything.
It's not, no, that's like a woman thing. It's like getting our pink back. Like where we feel like girly again. We want to get dressed up. But I think a lot of like we're in and out. We're exhausted. We lost ourselves. And then so there's that insecurity of like, I'm not his friend anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's going out right with his friends. Or that's why I feel like if cheating has happened in the marriage and you genuinely cannot heal from it, like cheating's grounds for divorce because that's a horrible way to live. If you can't, if you can heal from it, like both parties, like continue, that's going to be a stronger marriage. But if you can't, and that constantly goes through your mind, like the enemy's accusing you, like he's doing it again, she's doing it again, like that's a horrible way to live. Like, how are you going to shut those voices off if you feel like you always have something to point at, like they did it once and it just fuels? And so there could be that fear, but for sure it's the enemy of accusing, speaking, saying like either he's going to find someone else or maybe not find like a woman, but in the friendship that you gave him, he's going to find it somewhere else. He has more fun away from his family.
Or what about the heaviness of the schedule where a woman's like, I've been working all day. If she works, I've been working all day. Now I'm coming home with the kids. And you say you're going out at 5:00. Like,
yeah, I can't relate to that because I do hear women complaining of like, oh, my husband not going to be home for the night routine. And I'm like, okay, like what's the big deal? And I think a few things. So I don't want to. I don't want to diminish their reality because my experience is different.
Their perspective.
Mm-hmm. No, but it could be the reality. It could be hard. because I was raised with the mom, like a badass woman, like 4 kids, just her. She will take us to the other side of the country, 6 hours with 4 kids, like flight. And at least from what I saw, maybe she was like dying inside, but from what I saw, she held it together.
Yeah.
She was the coolest, cool as a cucumber. And my dad would, he's a musician. And so he would travel for weeks at a time, every month. She'd hold the fort down. And like, I remember like crying, like missing my dad. And like, she would hold the fort down at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I never remember complaining like, oh, your dad has been gone for so long. I never heard that. Again, whether she felt it or not is a different thing, but at least from the kid's perspective, right? I don't know. You would have to ask her friends or her sisters. And so having that independent mom, like I brought that independence where I'm like, I can take my 2 kids out if I need to. And like I send people where it's like, I got 2 kids and I don't know how to go to the grocery store. Like it is more convenient. Like you hear me say, oh, if I don't have to take them to the store, I don't want to, but I'm not going to not go to Soak City with my kids if I have 2 of them, because it's inconvenient.
Like, yeah.
It sucks. It is what it is. But I have 2 kids. Like, I'm going to continue to go. Like, you didn't want to go to Texas with me or Boston. And I'm like, I have 2 kids. I'm going to go. Like, I'm not going to let that stop me from living.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it should stop the man from living too. Like, just because he has 2 kids and you're the one at home.
Mm.
But my kids are also like the best kids ever. Like, they are the best. I think Araya at the most would be like, Mom, play with me. And I'm just like, oh, she wants me to play with her. But I'd rather have that any day than just be like going, like driving me crazy. So if your kids are driving you crazy, like raise them better. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, man.
Because they shouldn't be taking over your home environment where you don't find peace in your home.
Yeah.
Or you don't, like, kids, they are wild. And they're kids, they're not gonna obviously know, but if it's to the point where, again, it's stealing your joy or your peace, like you being with them, like that's a bad situation.
Yeah.
And I, from my perspective, I don't have crazy kids, but I have crazy classrooms full of kids where I genuinely felt like my 4th year, 5th year teaching has been the best because I've established boundaries. Like I used to get so much anxiety when it was time for dismissal. Because I didn't set a boundary and students would just, like the last 2 minutes of class would grab all their things and go straight to the door and just like jumble up there waiting. And so I had just like, you can't even walk through. And they were loud and I'd see like pushing. But trying to change that when you already figured out like this brings me anxiety was like a hopeless cause. Like they were already wired to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This year I was like, you're staying in your seat until the bell rings. Like you can pack up, but you're staying in your seat. Just that simple switch of a boundary has like given me peace where I'm like, I'm not dreading dismissal time because I know. And so I'm saying like you, again, if I can protect my peace in a classroom with 32 middle school students, like you should protect your peace at home. And so I feel like you shouldn't be dreading. Again, if you're doing bedtime every single night and like your husband again maybe is avoiding it, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But if it's like once a week or twice, 3 times a week, like he's out for whatever reason, whether it's gym, fitness, ministry, That shouldn't be like the thing I feel like to be like, no, he needs to be home. But again, I have two great kids and I had a mom who was super independent. So I never felt like that was a reason for me to be like, no, I don't want David to go. Like I've never been like, you're going to miss bedtime though. Like, just like, okay, bye. We've got it. Hmm.
That's good. I mean, I'm saying it's good and it might be unfair to say that it's good because it, but from a man's perspective.
But
right?
I feel like the questions you're asking me, like you've had that too, because there would be times when I feel like Araya was like a baby. Like I had very needy babies where they wanted me. Mm-hmm. And I'd get my nails done and you'd text me. I don't think you've texted me at all this past couple of years or even more. But you would text me all the time. Like whether I was in a tribe group of women, like a small group of women, getting my nails done, like, when are you coming home? And I like would hate those texts. Because I'd feel anxiety of like, I feel like I'm not supported.
Yeah.
That I can't enjoy myself here. Because instead of saying, I'm so happy you're there, it's like, no, I regret that you're there. When are you coming back? I need you here. Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite of support. Even though you're not directly saying it, I feel like I would interpret that text that way. So what made you feel like was it the kids were a lot and so you feel like you couldn't handle them and you were getting anxious, like being home? Was it that you were not used to me being gone?
No, like I said, I think it was more my own like interpersonal, like my insides, like my heart or whatever. Just like, she's going out so much. She's going out for so long. Like she obviously doesn't want to spend time with me. She doesn't like me. And I think I would just use the kids as an excuse. Like, oh, the kids are crying for you. Like, and I think like me already being in that toxic mindset. And then if they were crying, I'd be like, this is all like Grace's fault. And like, I would like, my mind, the enemy, whatever, like would make it seem like, okay, like let's harness all this negative energy and point it towards Grace. This is all your fault. Like you shouldn't have gone out and like making you feel that guilt of like, I hope you never go out again. Like, I hope you just want to stay home with me and that's it, you know, like, but yeah, I could sit here and say like, that's toxic. That's so toxic. And I could sit here and say like, yeah, that was my own like internal stuff that I needed to deal with. And also like that again, I feel like all that kind of changed when I started like really allowing myself to see like, oh, Grace actually loves me and she has my back. And now it's just like, okay, she's leaving. You know, like.
I'm going on a spa day all day.
Yeah, you do that all the time. Well, once a month, sorry. Yeah. but yeah, like it was really just my own toxicity. And then just, I think when you grow up like toxic like that, it's hard to be able to accept that somebody else loves you. And especially if you've grown up feeling like nobody loves me, nobody likes me, I'm a bad person. And like, you kind of like put the pieces together, just like, yeah, it makes sense that she wouldn't be here. Mm. I'm not a good person. And that makes you feel bad, right? And so, yeah, it's just like a toxic recipe.
And I do think there's also like in some people when they see someone thrive, like, oh, they're getting their nails done, like they're relaxing or they're having fun with their friends. Like it's kind of this thing of like they shouldn't, right? If you're not healthy or something like this. Why are they doing that?
Why are they having fun without me? That's like the classic woman meme.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, my husband's having fun. Let me just send him a quick text.
But I genuinely think where it's like how I said, that golden rule, like just ask yourself, like, how would I want to be treated? Mm-hmm. Like, would I want my husband to be, again, saying like, why are you getting your nails done? Or like, why are you going golfing? Right? Or like, you don't like golfing, but just an example.
Yeah.
And then the more... I feel like the more that you take care of me, it's true what people say, as corny as it is, because everyone says it, but like the more you take care of me, the more that my cup is filled, like the more then I'm secure and I don't like do what you got to do. Like I just came from a spa. You want to go where, like go on a guy's trip. I don't care. Like, cause next month I'm going to go on a spa. Like, you know, like we just keep on like fueling each other. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't come from a place of jealousy because we were taking care of each other.
Yeah.
Versus it's like, why are you doing all of this? And that person's not being taken care of.
Yeah.
And so.
And okay, so talk about what it means for a woman to feel supported and loved and, yeah, just supported. Like, what does that mean to a woman? What does that do in a woman?
I think it makes this go farther in life. Like, if I didn't have your support in the beginning, I mean, you kind of gave it because you had to,
mm-hmm.
but you gave it to me, like, to continue my education.
That was hard. Bachelor's. I will be honest. That was hard.
Like, you supported me saying, like, go,
mm-hmm.
but then I kept hearing, like, bad things about it.
Oh, yeah.
But we were in a toxic, like, we, that was just, like, a recipe for disaster. But, like, I was able to go farther. Like, not just for myself, be proud of myself, but, like, for my family, like, bringing in the resources that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with my fitness journey. Like, if you didn't support me, like, I would have never known that I could run a half marathon. I would have never known that, like, maybe I want to do a full marathon. Like,
mm-hmm. No, not maybe.
No, I am. Just to show you, the world, like, I could do it. Like, I know I can. But I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when you're supported, someone's behind you. Like, I see, like, a sled push. Like, that thing's heavy, and it might not be always the easiest to support because it might take sacrifice. And it might take seasons of where you're not getting anything in return. But I see it as like you're pushing them, but you're behind them, pushing them to go farther. And in turn, it's going to strengthen both parties. And so, yeah, like your support means a lot because there's things that I either wouldn't have gone there as fast as I did or I would have never gone there with having a family. I feel like especially like women should be supported no matter what, but especially mothers. Because we are depicted as just like giving everything to our kids. But I think if we do that in the, I'm talking about Hispanic family because obviously that's the only thing I can talk about, being Hispanic. But if we do that where a mom gives everything up for her kids, kids will never know what that looks like, success looks like.
Mm.
Because they just kept giving and giving to the point of like, yeah, my mom was a hard worker, but she never achieved her dreams. She never went out and think for herself.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful because I had a mom who did a whole lot for us. Like when I talk about support, she was like, you tell me when, you tell me how much, you tell me where, like I will be there, support financially if I have to. Like she got our backs, but she never neglected herself. She had dreams and she went after it. She showed us that it's possible. When we doubted her, like, mom, this is a crazy dream. Like, are you sure? And so I think a mother succeeding and a husband being able to support a mother does so much more for the family, so much more for what kids are, like, recognizing. Not only do they see, like, my mom can do it, but they're seeing the example of, wow, my dad supports my mom. And that's a beautiful thing to see nowadays where that's rare. I feel like usually for one person to achieve their goals, divorce has to happen or a lot of like, again, selfishness and working together as a team. Like it's a beautiful thing. And so I think it means a lot for women to be supported.
Yeah. And what I heard from all that you said is just, that's part of the legacy that you're leaving behind for your kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like to see they're both parents, like they love each other. They support each other. They both had dreams. They both supported each other in those dreams. They both accomplished those things. Like, yeah, they're left with thoughts like you, just like, what can't we do?
Mm.
We can do it all.
Yeah.
You know, and being those role models is crucial as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good conversation. We could have like kept going, but we'll end it here. Do you have any last things you want to say?
I thought I did, but I don't think so.
I know, like I saw like, you were loading, processing. I like this conversation a lot. Because how you said we're experiencing what that looks like now in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw what support looked like in a toxic way of like throwing it back at each other, keeping score. Well, I did this. What are you going to do? And it still comes up. We're not perfect. It still like comes up like those weeds and we have to like be self-aware and pluck them out. But being able to see the other side of what genuine support looks like, and again, the fruits of that that came naturally without expecting it, has been like crazy worth it.
Yeah, and I would say if you do feel like you've kind of been put in the back burner in your relationship in regards to your goals and what you want to achieve, and this is both for a woman or a man, don't be afraid to speak up. You know, hopefully this episode, if you're listening to it, is a fire starter in your life, in your heart, and not for a toxic way, but for you to just be like, I need to have a serious conversation with my significant other. I need to put things on this table. And again, I keep repeating it. This is one of the reasons why we have these episodes.
Yeah.
Me and you are having conversations so you guys can have conversations at home and with your friends and so on and so forth. And I do believe that if you felt like you've been being put on the back burner, bring it up. Bring it to the table. Have the conversation. Figure out the schedule. Figure out the finances. Figure it out. And I pray and I hope that both of you guys feel that love towards each other. You feel that support. You feel that respect, the admiration. And I just pray that love is in that place when you guys are having that conversation.
Yes. And as he was talking, I just got another great idea for a podcast, which is, how much is too much, or is there a limit to support? Because I feel like if there's toxic cycle, like support, but then nothing comes from that, or like you support willingly and it just, they leave you like, does that make sense?
Are you talking about, let's say, like
inconsistency?
Okay. I thought you were talking about like, let's say a man goes, I want to start a business, and he's trying to start that business for 3 years, and the woman's like, I can only support you for so long. Like, eventually you got to call it quits.
That, or if it's like he gives up, and then she supports him again, and he gives up. And it's like, at what point do you kind of lead him to the cage and it's like, right now, time out. Get it together.
Okay, I would say in scenario one, the one that I said.
Oh, we can get there the next.
No, that's not a full episode, I don't think.
You don't think?
I don't think that's a full episode. Because I feel
like with my conversation of going back to school, where you're like, I will support you if you have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Or even my social media journey, you're like, okay, you want me to support you? You need to start being consistent, because I supported you with Instagram and that you stopped. Supported me YouTube, you knew stopped. Like, you want my support? Show me that you're going to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when should you like withhold your support, or when, you know, like, is there a limit? Like,
I don't think you should ever withhold your support.
But if it's like, I want to go be a lawyer at the age of 60 and just give so much money to, like, something where you're like, this isn't wise.
I feel like you'd be one of those people.
Probably.
But something not wise. Okay, like.
I brought this up as a podcast idea. I know, but
I don't think it's a full episode. And that's why, like, I'm going to chalk it up right now. Like, scenario one is, you talked about it. The man digging for diamonds,
mm-hmm.
and once almost there. Like, it could be 3, 4, 5 years. And again, biblical principles.
Yeah.
It could be years where a man's like, I'm going to start this business and I hope it takes off. And it hasn't taken off in 3, 4, 5 years. And the woman's like, I'm getting tired of supporting you because I see nothing coming from this. In that scenario, I feel like, hey, if you're all in for 4, 5, 6 years, keep being all in. You're either going to go broke, or you're going to hit what you want to hit. And even if you go broke, you learn so much in those years of the things that you can endure, the knowledge that you gain, the discipline, so on and so forth. All there's a lot to gain from. The second scenario you said, and it kind of tied towards your social media, whatever, where you're like, this person keeps saying that they're going to do this and they keep giving up, or they keep quitting. They're going to start something else and keep quitting. In that scenario, I still don't believe, I don't like the thought of like
withhold
your support.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally have the stance of, my support is on the table, But it is contingent on you actually doing what you say you're going to do.
So having conversations of what that looks like.
Yes, yes. Because if there is history, and some people, and I remember you were one of those people, did not like history being thrown in their face. And when I didn't say history, I go, your history. Here's all the receipts. Here's the things that you've done or you said you were going to do, and then you just quit. And so in that scenario, I was like, you haven't shown to be of a consistent person, but I will 100% support you. A, because I knew that you wanted to do something in social media. You had tried YouTube before. Like, it's something that came naturally to you and you loved it. I will do it, but you need to be consistent, disciplined. You need to be, have the characteristics to like actually make this happen. And I never thought about revoking the.
Okay, the scenario C. That person doesn't have, because you said natural talent. That person has no natural talent. I want to be an opera singer or like a break dancer.
The support never gets revoked. I will say that out of all the scenarios you've said, I've never thought revoke the support.
Okay, so if I was like, I want to be a Hollywood actor.
Okay. The thing is, I will not revoke the support. But I will tell you, honey boo boo, I don't think that's your strong suit. Let's support you in something that like is your strong suit.
Oh, but if I was adamant, like I'm going to go move. I mean, we're already in LA, but like I'm going to move closer to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take classes. Like you'd be like, okay. Like what does support look like if you think it's not realistic, but they really want it?
It depends on the recipe of the people that are involved in that scenario, right? Because I am the type of person that I am, I know that if something does seem far-fetched, immediately, what's my go-to? Give me a plan. Give me a plan that you're actually going to stick to. Give me a plan that I can... It's almost like when you have like a business plan and you take it to the bank so they can give you the loan. It's almost the same thing like that, where I'm like, give me a plan. Give me a plan that you're going to stick to. Give me like your weekly plan, your monthly plan. Tell me how long you think it's going to take you to do it. Like if you tell me 3 years, like, okay. And you give me a plan where I'm like, yeah, if you stick to this, you'll be successful or you'll taste success. I'd be like, okay, let's do it. But if you're just like, I don't know. I just thought I'd get an agent and like see what happens. I'd be like, nah, buddy. You're like, it's not that I'm revoking your support. It's just like, I'm going to support you in telling you like, you need to make a plan, and if you don't make a plan, you're not going to be successful.
Okay. Well, you heard it there first.
You have a crazy idea, huh?
That, no.
Oh.
You heard it there, that support no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think this is a good conversation. Thank you guys always so much for supporting us. We see your support. It makes a huge difference. It makes us keep going like farther, which means like showing up. Even if we don't want to, if we're exhausted, if we're busy, like your support matters to us.
Yes.
So please continue to support us. Ways you can support us is all free. We're not asking for money. Like this video, share it either on your stories or send it to someone. Please comment. It helps with the algorithm. Subscribe if you haven't already. And yeah, keep on watching because we're going to keep on making these videos. Yep. And so thank you guys. And until the next one. Bye.
See ya.